Transitioning to what we've been mentioning this whole month of August, and as you see on the walls, our missionaries. These are the missionaries that this church supports, and from Cambodia to Savannah, Georgia, to Northern Asia. And so the purpose of missions is what the scripture says, for all to come to repentance. That's God's desire. God's desire is for all to come to repentance. Who is all? All is everyone. All is all. And God's desire is that they would come to repentance. And God desires for all of us, as I mentioned a couple weeks ago, that all of us would be connected to the Father. But in order for us to be connected to the Father, we got to be connected to Jesus. We got to understand and know that Christ died on the cross for us. And these missionaries are going to the respective places that God has called them to tell those people that God sent Jesus, that God so loved, that he sent his Son, and that the only way to be connected to the Father is to be connected through the Son. We've asked you to prayerfully consider and connect, or like I mentioned this morning, adopt a missionary. You're not going to invite the missionaries over. You're not going to feed them. You're not going to house them. But adopting these missionaries just points out that, you know what, I'm going to commit. Be glad to give you the information. We'll be glad to even mail it for you if you need us to mail it for you. We'll even do that. And so we're asking that you commit to pray for the next 6 months to connect with these missionaries and also to connect to them through financial support as well. And here I'm going to ask a couple of the ushers and then Ezra and Caleb to come and help me. And if you guys can just come and sit here real quick and in the front row. And then here in a little bit, I'm going to ask you guys to help me out here. You see, because what we're going to do is we're going to play a music video, and we're just going to give you an opportunity. If you notice that there's cards right around the missionaries. Now, there's two missionaries that we're praying that based on this financial support of the church, it's going to let us know whether or not we can add these two missionaries. Sarah Plagenhoff. Sarah, right? Yeah. Hannah. Sorry. Hannah Plagenhoff. Sarah's the sister. Hannah Plagenhoff. Now, her parents are missionaries to Albania. They've gone to places in that area where there's no Christian, there's no Pentecostal churches, and they've planted churches there. And so this is a missions kid actually going to be a missionary. And then the Hoovies, they are in Northern Asia. Can't tell you exactly where they're at because we're recording, but they are in Northern Asia, and they are a young family that God has called them to go and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so these two missionaries we'd like to add, but that's going to be based on how much support we have, and then we're going to pursue that support as well. And so when this video plays, I'm going to have my two young guys stand up in the front. What they're holding is a pledge card. This is a pledge. Shannon and I are not going to knock on your door saying, hey, come on. We're here to pick up. No, this is you going to God saying, God, how much do you want me to financially support this missionary? Who's this missionary? The one that you get to choose. That's up to you if you'd like to, or just give to missions. And this is your pledge card. We ask that you fill this out. Now, if you filled this out 6 months ago, can we ask you to go ahead and fill another one out? And then we're going to tally all these up. We're going to pray over them, and we're going to pray over you who've decided to faithfully commit the next 6 months to support these missionaries. We're going to say, God, allow them to be able to see that they are conduits of your blessing. As you've blessed them, they're going to bless these missionaries in financial support. And so we ask that you just grab one of these. These two young guys are going to stand up, and as the music video plays, come on up, get on up, and grab one of those square cards, and it has the information for those missionaries. Amen. I know Ben and Cammie Heilman. They are missionaries to Cambodia. And I saw him just this past week. And he has been ministering to his landlord, to people in his area. And he's got a team that has been supporting him or helping him do ministry there. His team are some Filipinos and some Malaysians. And they're ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ to Cambodians. And so this is just a cool nucleus of American, Filipinos, and Malaysians ministering to Cambodians. That's an awesome thing. A year ago, he said that he got T-boned by a motor. He was on a motorbike. He had his helmet, and he got T-boned by another motorbike. And it didn't look really, really, really good for his head. He hit his head and banged his head. Of course, he had the helmet on, but also his foot as well. And his wife was in the room and visiting him, and he was supposed to be at a certain meeting for an outreach. Well, he wasn't there. And there were 12 Cambodians that were there and that they were being ministered to. Long story short, because the enemy tried to stop certain things, people got sick. And some people that were needing to be there weren't there. But they all kind of got, just, you know, several weeks go by. And out of that 12 or 15 that were supposed to be there, some of them were there in that meeting. They just kept coming. And Ben, he was out, you know, laid up in bed. But 9 of them came to know the Lord Jesus Christ in a series of certain times because they actually went to visit him in the hospital. They found and they found out what was going on, and he actually had some headaches, but when his wife prayed for him, the headaches were gone. The headaches were gone. He says, and he hasn't had any migraine or dizziness in a year. And so as he was telling these, some are Filipinos and Malaysian, but as he was telling some of these Cambodians the story of how his wife prayed for him and that how God heals. See, because they have been teaching them about the God that they serve. And it was just an amazing thing that in that moment, several of them began to cry because they realized that the God that you've been teaching us and talking to us, they actually saw with their very own eyes the person that was healed. And so it was just an amazing story. So I may never step foot in Cambodia, but because we pray and we support the Hyomans, all of us, part of Hidden Treasures, that faithfully pray and faithfully financially support, we play a part in those 9 Cambodians giving their life to Jesus Christ. Amen? So thank God that we have an opportunity and to play a part. Amen. So today I'm going to talk about something that kind of what our missionaries are doing. They're compelling this love story to a group of people that they don't know, of different nationalities, of how they can be, I'm going to say this word a lot today, grafted in. How many of you green thumbs out there, you know what grafting is? All right. I didn't know. I had to watch a couple of videos, and it was pretty cool about grafting, of how you can get one plant and you can actually cut the stem from one plant and then how you can graft it into another. But there's a precise way and method of doing it so that it'll latch on, so that one plant can now start growing from a plant that's already growing. And it's just an amazing thing. But we, as believers in Jesus Christ, not Hebrew, not Israel, not an Israel heritage, not Jewish descent, but that we are grafted in. And I have a real quick, if you can just go ahead and put slide 1 for me. Have you ever seen a family tree? Anybody? You've seen them, right? This just kind of just came to me yesterday. You ever notice the family trees, the grandparents are up at the top? How many of y'all know trees don't grow from the top to the bottom? They grow from the bottom up, right? I never thought about it. Didn't occur to me till yesterday as I was trying to, you know, find, you know, a good representation of a family tree, that the descendants kind of go to the bottom, and it's like almost flip-flopped. And today, God wants us to understand and see that he is God, and he has this group of people called, first they were known as Hebrews, and then we kind of know them as the Israelites, and then we know them as Jews. And so, but that God wants us to be a part of that family. And Jesus made it possible for us to be a part of this family. And so, you go to the next slide. This is Father Abraham's family tree. Now, I know it's small, okay, whatever, but if you'll notice where it's highlighted, I kind of put highlights over some of the names, and this kind of shows us the lineage of Jesus Christ. And of course, we all know it takes 2 to tango, right? And so we don't know Abraham's mom, but Abraham came from Terah, and so Abraham and Sarah, they had Isaac, and then Isaac hooked up with Rebekah, and they had Jacob, and then Jacob hooked up with Leah, and they had Judah. And Jesus is known as, he comes from the tribe of Judah, the Lion of Judah. And so this kind of just shows us, of course, there's a whole lot more people in the line of Jesus, but just kind of shows us a little bit of the lineage. And it's kind of funny because it, like the family tree, it starts up at the top and it kind of goes down, but a tree actually goes from the bottom up. And so we are all grafted in, and I'm excited because I get to share with you what the Lord's wanted me to say, because some of you probably didn't even realize this. You probably just thought that, oh, you know, well, Jesus, you know, God just, you know, I guess he just sees something good in me and he wants me. God desires for you to be with him for all of eternity, that you being should be ostracized and should be kicked to the curb by God because of your sin. But yet God loves you so much that he says, come here, come here, come be a part of my family. Now, I'm neither Hebrew or an Israelite or Jewish descent. I'm Mexican. But I've been grafted in. Thank you, God. I've been grafted in. Now, the word Hebrew is a member of any group of people of the ancient kingdom of Israel, descended from Jacob of the Bible, or descended from Abraham, as we're going to read here in a little bit. Also, the word Hebrew is defined as one who passed from beyond or passed over. That's what Hebrew means. One who passed from beyond or passed over. And it's possibly also, did you know that, of course, I didn't know, you know, one of his names, but one of Shem's kids' names is Eber. That word Eber, E-B-E-R. One commentary or a thought is that Eber, because the word Eber means from the region beyond or from the beyond. And one commentary stated that Eber, the son of Shem, that is, he is the first Hebrew. But we don't know in Scripture until we get to Genesis chapter 14, verse 13. And you don't have to stand for the reading of this. I'll have you stand here in a little bit. But if you'll put up Genesis chapter 14, verse 13. See, it says something interesting in this verse. It's talking about Abraham. And then it says the one who, Lot and his family. But verse 13 says, then the one who had escaped came and told Abram the Hebrew. That's the first time you've seen the word Hebrew in Scripture, would be in Genesis chapter 14, verse 13. It says, for he dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and brother of Aner, and they were allies with Abram. See, Abram is described as being the Hebrew. The Hebrew, probably, if it's right, probably because he is in the lineage and he comes from the lineage of Shem. But who are God's people? Hebrews, Jews, Israelites, all refer to the same people. The nation which sprang from Abraham through Isaac and Jacob, a nation promised and a nation promised by God in the Old Testament, that God made promises to, that God made covenants with. But of course, we all know that it all began with Adam and Eve, right? Adam and Eve, first two people. But we're going to discuss how God made a covenant with Abram. Now, God made a covenant with Adam and Noah, but that's for another time. And so God's promise to Abram is found in Genesis 12, and you can stand for the reading of this word. Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. It's a promise. Now, the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. Go from a place and go beyond that place and go somewhere else. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Father, we come to you and we thank you for your word today. Lord, I pray that you reveal your word and your truth to us today, Lord. Nuggets of truth that we would receive. Father, I pray that every heart, every ear, Lord, has been prepared to receive from you. Oh, Lord, what a tragedy would be to come into your house and not be prepared and to walk out the same way. Father, I pray, Lord, that we would listen to what the Spirit says, Lord, and receive your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. And so God made a promise to Abram. How many of you like promises? Promises kept. God keeps all of his promises. There's not one promise that God says, I kind of, you know, lied a little bit. That was just a little small lie. I didn't really mean it. No, God keeps his promises. Amen. And so in Genesis chapter 17, we find that God makes a covenant to Abram. But it's not just to Abram. It's to Abram and all of his descendants. Let's read Genesis 17. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and you will will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you and in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Amazing thing that when God changes your name. Now, God didn't change my name. My name didn't used to be Timothy, and now it's Rick. My name is still Rick, but God has changed me. God changed Abram because from here on now, he's known as Abraham. And I always like to mention this, and maybe some of you don't know this, but the word Abraham means father of many nations. So every time he heard Abraham, he's reminded what God said, father of many nations. Yo, Abraham, he's not hearing Abraham. He's hearing father of many nations. What a great thing to always be reminded of God's covenant and God's promise over your life and what God said to you. So do what you can to remember what God said. Write it down. Put it on sticky notes. It's so funny how we can remember people's phone numbers. Now, some of us probably have a hard time remembering people's names. But when God speaks to us in a promise and he says something, when you're reading scripture and you read what God says about you and it really hits you, don't let it go through one ear and out the other. But every time he heard Abraham, he remembered that what God said, you will be a father of many nations. But this covenant was not just to Abraham, but it is to his descendants. We are grafted in. Praise the Lord. Everyone say, grafted in. Grafted in. Oh, I don't think you're excited enough. Grafted in. God's covenant with Abraham impacts my life. How does it impact your life? You're not a Hebrew. You're not Jew. I am a seed of Abraham because of what Jesus did and how he made it possible for those who believe. If you don't believe me, let's go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. It says, for you are all children of God through doubt? No. Through chance? No. Through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many through Christ Jesus and all who have been united with Christ. I'm sorry, Joe, this can be a New Living Translation. All of my scriptures will be. Sorry, Joe. Verse 27, and all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ, like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all, what? One in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. How many of you are thinking about that song, Father Abraham? You know, you're thinking about that song, right? And so it says, you are true children of Abraham. You are heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. I only got two. I got one hallelujah and one amen. Guys, this is exciting. This is really exciting if you didn't really think about it. You weren't supposed to be a part of God's family. That's like if any one of you was to go to my house, my parents' house, where my parents live, they have a house in Mexico, but they're staying with my sister in Chicago. If you were to go to my sister's house and just walk in the house like you own it and just sit on the couch and prop your feet on the coffee table and turn on the TV, my brother-in-law would probably get his gun and try to shoot you. Why? You're not a part of the family. What in the world are you doing coming to my house? Putting your feet on my coffee table. Turning on the TV like you, like do you pay rent here? Hey, he does have a gun. And so, but it's because you're not a part of the family. But if you're part of the family, part of God's family, God says, come home, son. I'm not sure how many of you are excited to hear the words, welcome, son. Welcome, daughter. Welcome into your rest. That's God's desire. Again, missions. God desires for all to come to repentance. For none to perish, but all to come to repentance. And so it's an exciting thing for us to know. It's exciting to be a part of these people's lives that are on the wall, that are telling people who don't even know English, probably have never heard the story of Jonah, probably have never heard of the story of the Apostle Paul and how he was, you know, transformed and how he was changed from Saul to Paul. They don't know those stories, but these people on the wall, we get to play a part in what they're doing. What an exciting thing to tell people, we are grafted in. You can belong in the family of God. You can be a part of the family of God. Now, I have this video. Again, for those of you that are green thumbs, you're probably going to be like, I knew this. This guy's doing it all wrong. Whatever. But for those of us that don't have green thumbs, that we've never seen this happen. But this is what Jesus made possible for us, that we could be grafted in to the family of God. So when you see, if God ever did have a family tree, the fact that God, he'd be at the bottom, right? Not at the top, because trees, everything grows from the bottom up, right? And so it is just an amazing thing that as we see what grafted means the point of insertion of a scion upon a stock. The stock is the bottom part. The scion is the top part, the part that you're going to graft into what's already being grown, to unite with a stock. Horticultural techniques used to join parts from two or more plants so that they appear to grow as a single plant. Let's go to slide 3, Joe. This was just an illustration of, A is the scion and B is the stock, and it is an amazing thing that there has to be some cutting. There has to be some cutting on our part. But the fact that it is just an amazing thing how we just neatly fit. And Jesus allows us to be neatly knitted together with the Father, knitted in relationship. We're not supposed to be. Because of our sin, we're not supposed to be. Because of where you grew up and how you grew up, you weren't supposed to be connected to the Father. Because of what goes on in your mind or because of your actions, you're not supposed to be connected to the Father. So my first point was the fact that God, who's God's people? And my next point is that God's people are not grafted. Did you know that? Israelites are not grafted. They weren't grafted in. They were chosen by God to be his people. The first time that we find Hebrews used in Scripture, as I mentioned, in Genesis chapter 14, verse 13. The first time we find Israelites mentioned in Scripture is Genesis 35. Let's go there. Genesis 35, verses 9 through 12 in the New Living Translation. It says, after Jacob returned from Padan Aram, God appeared to him again and blessed him. God said to him, your name is Jacob, but you will no longer be called Jacob. Your name will be Israel. So he named him Israel. And God said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and increase in number. A nation and a community of nations, bunch of Israelites, a nation and community of nations will come from you, and kings will be among your descendants. The land I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I also give to you, and I will give this land to your descendants after you. Another promise, another covenant, another name change. You see, the Apostle Paul even says in Romans chapter 11, he's talking about the nation of Israel. Did God reject them? Did God kick them to the curb? No. But there were people known as God's people who rejected Jesus Christ, who rejected God's gift of salvation. And Paul says this in Romans 11. I ask, has God rejected his own people, the nation of Israel? Of course not. He says, I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, and a member of the tribe of Benjamin. No, God has not rejected his own people, who he chose from the very beginning. Do you realize what the scriptures say about this? That Elijah the prophet complained to God, saying, God, Lord, they've killed the prophets. They've torn down your altars. Now they're trying to get me. And God says in his reply, no, do you remember God's reply? He said, no, I have 7,000 who have never bowed down to Baal. It is same today, for a few of the people of Israel have remained faithful because of God's grace. His undeserved kindness is choosing them. And since it is through God's kindness, then it is not by their good works. For in that case, God's grace would not be what it really is, free and undeserved. As Abraham believed, so must we believe. It is so true that we must believe. Because as Abraham believed what God said, it was accounted unto him as righteousness. How many of you believe what God says about you? How many of you believe that God says that he sent his son to die for you? Now, let me just say this. How many of you believe up here, but you don't believe here? There's a song by a group called United Pursuit. He says, and the title of their song is From My Head to My Heart. You see, I can know it right here, but I got to know it here too. And it's seen through right here, my life and what I do. It's seen by what I say. It's seen by what I pursue. Hebrews, we were talking about Hebrews in Sunday school. And Hebrews 11:6, it says that without faith, it is impossible to believe. It's possible to please God. But he who believes must come to God, must believe that he is God. And must be and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If I'm diligently seeking God, I'm not just believing in my head. I'm believing in my head, but in my heart. And there's diligence, so there's action going on in my life. So now my faith has works. Am I saved because of works? No. None of us can work to be saved. Only by faith in Jesus Christ and what he's done. But our works, because of our faith in knowing who he is, that clarifies and reveals that my faith is in the one true God, in his son, Jesus Christ. So I'm not saved by my works, because if I am, I can boast about it. I can tell everybody all the scripture memory verses that I have and how great of a Christian I am and how bad you are. I was talking to Shannon the other day about how easy it is. We compare ourselves. We try to compare ourselves with other people. That when we compare ourselves, you either feel good about yourself, it determines who you compare yourself to, or you feel bad about yourself. We're not supposed to do that. How many of you would attest that, yeah, I've done that before. I've compared myself to other people. I've compared myself to Jim, and boy, do I look good. I've compared myself to, you know, I've compared myself to so-and-so, and man, see, this is the danger. You compare yourself. And you're like, man, I'm just a nobody. I can't do it. We're supposed to compare ourselves. Jesus is the standard. He's the one that we're supposed to look to. He's the one that we're supposed to emulate. He's the one that we're supposed to strive to become, daily being changed by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, to become the image of Jesus Christ. Daily, that's our pursuit. Daily, that's our diligence. An amazing thing that happened to the people of God is they were chosen. The amazing thing that happens to us, those of us who are not Jews, those of us who are not descendants of Abraham, you know, bloodline, so to speak, we are grafted in. And so God's people are not, but we are. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, what I've been saying, for by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Let's go to the next slide. Remember I mentioned about if God did have a family tree? That would be it. You see, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God made covenants with them. And you're one of those branches or one of those leaves. I want you to go to John chapter 15, verse 5. Because this is what happens if you're not a part of that tree. Jesus says this. James chapter 5, verse 5, please. Talks about being a part of the vine. Did I say James? John chapter 5. John chapter 5 verse, or 15. Goodness. John chapter 15 verse 5. I thought I said that in the beginning. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me, Lord Jesus, I need you. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do... you can do nothing because you have no life. God gives us life. Jesus is the one who gives life. Being grafted into the Father through Jesus Christ, we can do great things. We can do many things. Why? It's not because of me. It's not because of my mind or my intellect or your good looks. It's because of God in you, Christ in you, the hope of our glory. But Jesus says that we have to be a part of him, because if we're not, we can do nothing. Now in your Bibles, if you're taking notes, write nothing and put eternally, eternal value. See, there are people here doing lots of good things. There are people in our community that are doing lots of good things for the poor, for the homeless, for those that are needy. They're doing a lot. But you know what? When you equate all of the things, the good things that they're doing, and equate it to see if it's of any eternal value, no, it's not. Because Christ needs to be the center of their life. They need to be connected to the Lord. They need to be connected to God, grafted into the family tree of God. But if not, all of the things that you can do, nothing. God is the root. He established covenants with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In this tree, every non-Jewish believer can be grafted in. So my last point is grafted in through faith. Galatians chapter 3, verses 6, it says, in the same way, Abraham believed God and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. The real children of Abraham, then, are those who put their faith in God. What? Yes, are those who put their faith in God. What's more, the scriptures looked forward to this time. The scriptures looked forward to this time when God would make the Gentiles right in his sight because of their faith. God proclaimed this good news to Abraham a long time ago when he said, all nations will be blessed through you. So all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of their faith. Faith takes work. Work in righteous living reveals faith. Just kind of examine yourself. Your living. What works come out of it that point out your faith is in Jesus Christ? See, we can say a lot of things, but if we don't back it up, that's the problem. Also, continuing in that same chapter, dropping down to verse 24, Paul says this, let me put it another way. The law was our guardian until Christ came. It protected us until we could be made right with God through faith. And now that the way of faith has come, we no longer need the law as our guardian, for you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, man or female, for you are one in Christ Jesus. When the Jews rejected Christ, God sent the good news to the Gentiles. And we find scriptures here today that we've been reading. Paul writing to the early church, writing to the Ephesian church, writing to the Galatian church, and letting them know that we can be grafted in, that we can be a part of the family of God, that we can be a part and be a part of the seed of Abraham. It wasn't to throw the Israelites aside, but in hopes that the Israelites would be jealous. If you don't believe me, Romans chapter 11, verse 11. Did God's people stumble and fall beyond recovery? Of course not. They were disobedient, so God made salvation available to the Gentiles. But he wanted his own people to become jealous and claim it for themselves. Now, if the Gentiles were enriched because the people of Israel turned down God's offer of salvation, think how much greater a blessing the world will share when they finally accept it. I am saying all this especially for Gentiles. God has appointed me as the apostle to the Gentiles to stress. I stress this. I want somehow to make the people of Israel jealous for what you Gentiles have. So I might save some of them. For since their rejection meant that God offered salvation to the rest of the world, their acceptance will be even more wonderful. It will be life for those who were dead. God's great game plan. He's got a strategy because he knows the end. And he's providing the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles so that the Israelites, his chosen people, will say, man, they got it going on. God is doing great. Well, you know what? God did great things. Well, let's go back to God. Again, the purpose of missions is for all to come to repentance. That is the purpose. But I want us, as we've been reading this and just understanding the term grafted in, my prayer, and I believe what God's wanting us is for us today to cherish our salvation just a little bit more. Did you see how they wrapped around the graft in that video? Now, I saw a couple other videos, and that was the most entertaining one of all of them. But they made a point to say you have to wrap it around tight, that tape. We have to see our salvation and the relationship we have with God just so much more intently, to hold on to it and to look at it and to cherish it so much more. How many of you have your Bibles? Raise your Bibles up in your hand. This was also mentioned this morning. Yeah, you can raise up your phone. That's fine. Your phone, yeah, your tablet, okay. Cherish it. It is God's word.
It is God's word that we're supposed to know and read. How else are we going to have this thing called faith and a faith lifestyle if we don't know him? We've been grafted in. There is no need for us to be a part of this tree and being grafted in. And there's even something called patch grafting, which is also another cool thing. So if you're writing notes or you got your phone, patch grafting. It's just a small little patch, and you get a little small little patch from another plant, and you put it on there. And there's no, I mean, there's coarse cutting, but you just, it's like a putting a patch on a flat tire. And the amazing thing is that if you wrap it around good enough, and you, but even one guy even said put aluminum foil over it to keep the moisture out. Again, to keep anything out, and just to be tight with him. And then after 3 weeks, you take the aluminum foil out. And then after another week, you see a bud coming out of the patch that has been grafted to that plant. Amazing thing. And that's how God wants us to look at our salvation today. I may be in a room full of a bunch of believers. And I believe God wants you to look at your salvation, look at your relationship and cherish it even more. Hold on to it even tighter. Get to know him even close. I know that sometimes you those of you that have children, you just hug them so close. And as you notice how time's flown by and how time goes by, you just want to hold them really close and just cherish those moments. Well, some of you probably do. But you want to just cherish those moments. Cherish that moment. People die for holding on to the scripture that I just asked you to hold up. People memorize the word of a page because they have to pass it to somebody else. Cherish God's word. Cherish your relationship. And if you're here today that you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, maybe you're here today and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and he is revealing to you, you are not grafted in. You're on the side. You thought you were grafted in. You thought you were part of the family of God, but you are not. Holy Spirit is revealing this to you for a purpose and a reason so that you could be connected to the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ, so that you could be a part of the family of God. We who are not Jewish have no right being a part of God's family, but he's made it possible through his Son, Jesus Christ.